Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's my game right here. I feel it. I'm telling you, I feel it. I taste it.
It's time for you to be legendary right here, boy.
This is First and Pod.
They could not run the ball to save their lives in this game.
Your favorite team through a national lens.
The beauty of this podcast is that we don't gloss over anything. We do every team in every game.
Instant reaction to all the big games all season long.
The NFL never seems to let us down when we need a banger, banger.
Now, here are your hosts, Andrew Filippone, with 8-time Pro Bowl corner and 3-time first-team NFL All-Pro.
Peterson may go all the way. He will. Patrick Peterson wins it.
Patrick Peterson.
All right, it is a massive divisional round weekend here on First in Pod, the podcast that does every game every week, and we are going to preview the Elite Eight of the NFL, the final four matchups to get to Conference Championship Sunday. I'm Andrew Filippone. He's Patrick Peterson. We've been here for you all season long. Our producer is James Jackson. He sets the table for every game. And we are brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more. Along the way, we will bring you our best bet along with our upset pick of the week. So, James, let's get this started.
Let's go, because it is what a lot of people call, Pony and Pat, the best weekend in football divisional round in the NFL. And we'll start in Mile High. Josh Allen comes off a game in which he had to put the cape on again against Jacksonville. Now he goes against Denver and the Broncos. Can he do it one more time? Can Josh Allen come out the phone booth with the cape on and lead the Bills to a win against the Broncos?
I'm going to say no. I like the Denver Broncos in this ball game. I know Josh Allen has been phenomenal all year long, but he is going to be missing Gabe Davis, who is probably his most secure receiver that he had in the receiver room. So now he's going to be depending on, not saying that he can't do it, but Brandon Cook, who is basically a down the field guy. So, and I believe in the Denver Broncos defensive backs that they can pretty much not give up those plays that the Jacksonville Jaguars gave up to the Buffalo Bills in that wild card weekend just last week. I also believe in the Denver Broncos pass rush. I believe we saw when a team has a prolific pass rush, what it can do to Josh Allen. We saw that when they played the Houston Texans. Those guys absolutely got after Josh Allen. Now, mind you, I know that the offensive line was banged up that week, but I still think that this Denver Broncos team will apply a lot of pressure and force Josh Allen to be Superman pretty much on each and every play if James Cook doesn't get off to a good game to pretty much take some pressure off him. So I don't believe in the Broncos Bills defense. I know they have been playing better. Shout out to Trey White. I know you talked about him last week, playing like one of the best cornerbacks in the league over the last 5 years. But I just think that having that week off, RJ Harvey and that running game by committee should get something going and really lean on the Buffalo Bills front seven. And I think Bo Nix is going to continue to be Bo Nix. Is just, you know, maneuver around in the pocket, making those timely throws. Moving his team up and down the field on those long methodical drive that they have been so accustomed of doing. The biggest question is going to be, is youth going to be an issue with the rest and the break that they just had? So I don't think it's going to be an issue with Vance Joseph and Sean Payton as the play callers on that football team. Both coaches being veterans, both coaches been around, been in this league for a very long time. So I expect them not to allow that to seep into their team, to their young football team. So I'm going with the Denver Broncos. And this is my best bet of the week because the Denver Broncos are underdogs, and I'm taking the Denver Broncos to win this ball game.
So you're going to go underdog pick, or you're going to go best bet here? Pat, are you going to use your underdog card, or are you going to go best bet?
Yeah, I'm going underdog card.
Correction. They are now a favorite on FanDuel, Denver, minus one and a half.
So they flipped it. All right.
It's got to be your best bet.
No, I'm just going to leave it alone right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I like Denver, though.
just let it stay there. All right. I like Denver, too. So we'll start with an agreement here. We'll shake hands on this one. It reminds me a little bit, not all the way, because it's different teams and different coaches and different quarterbacks. It feels a little bit like last year's Super Bowl to me, in that last year's Super Bowl was Mahomes against a better team in Philadelphia. Philadelphia was way more well-rounded, a better roster, more talent accumulated on the team. But it's like, how do I pick against Mahomes? A lot of people made that mistake. Philly blew him out. The Broncos have a better team than the Bills. The Broncos, top to bottom, have a much better team than the Bills. They put offensive linemen on the all-pro team. They have Surtain in the secondary. They have Allen on the defensive line. They have the two edge rushers. They get good linebacker play. I mean, they are an outstanding team. The only question is, what is Bo Nix? We saw him last year in the playoffs against the Bills. They hit that long touchdown at the outset of the game, and then it was all downhill from there. That game was in Buffalo. This game's in Denver. And we've seen Buffalo go on the road and lose to Miami because they were pressured too much, go on the road and lose to Atlanta. You point out Davis's injury. I think Shavers is a big loss. He's an under-the-radar guy who helps out a lot in the run game as a blocker at wide receiver and is a really, really good special teams player. When the margin of error is slim enough where we're talking about a 1.5-point spread, I do think those injuries can actually end up affecting the outcome of the game. So ultimately, I think the thing that you praised Josh Allen for last week, Pat, is going to be their undoing. I don't think he's going to be able to single-handedly win this game. Denver's run defense was second in the league to Jacksonville's. Jacksonville held rushers under 90 yards. Denver was a tick over 90 yards at 91. We just saw what Jacksonville's run defense did as far as neutralizing James Cook. I think Denver can do a similar thing to them. Difference being, I think Denver is going to pressure Allen better than Jacksonville did, and I think they're going to cover better than Jacksonville too. They exposed Newsom in the last game. We'll see if they can expose Jahdae Barron or Riley Moss or take advantage of the secondary corners from Denver. But I like the Broncos in front of that home crowd to get a lift from that and prevail and cost Josh Allen another trip in the from playing in the Super Bowl.
And on top of that, Pony, you got to put this in consideration as well. Last week was Josh Allen's first road playoff win.
Yeah.
Put that in consideration as well.
So is he going to double it up? Is he going to double his career total?
I don't think so.
Got to do it again against a defense that likes to get after the quarterback. So we will see if Superman can do it one more time. Let's go now to San Francisco, because they find themselves an underdog again against Seattle. They go to the number one seed to play. So it's 49ers Seahawks, another NFC West showdown. Sam Darnold's banged up for the Seahawks, but he's going to play. No George Kittle for the 49ers. They've been overcoming injuries all season. And I don't know, man. There's something about the 49ers. I don't know if I want to – you know what? It's divisional playoffs, man. I'm not holding anything back anymore. The 49ers have been good to me. They've been good to their fans. I'm riding with Kyle Shanahan. He's been doing a great job all season. It'd be the 49ers as my upset pick to go in the number one Seattle.
Okay.
Continue the wreckage of the NFC they're doing. And they're playing with house money. Like, why not?
Hey, man, let's stop saying that. I hate when people say that. Playing with house money. Ain't no damn house money. Everybody's in the playoff for a reason. And if you lose, you're going home. Ain't nobody going to be like, oh, man, that was house money. No, stop. Let's stop using that term. I hate when people use that, house money.
Wow, James.
Yeah, didn't mean to upset Pat so much with that. But I'm going with the 49ers. How do you guys see this game kind of playing out?
So I'm gonna split the baby here, as they say. I'm gonna have a King Solomon approach to picking this game. There's only four games. So if I'm gonna get an upset pick in, that means, and I'm gonna tell you straight up, I don't actually think that the upset is going to happen, but if I'm going to bet on an upset, it is going to be this one, because The Niners get you plus 270 on FanDuel if they win. That's the best odds by far of any underdog playing this week. Better than the Bills, better than the Texans, better than the Bears. And we've already seen a couple things with Darnold lately. I do not think he finished the season on a strong note. And now he's hurt. And Drew Lock on Thursday took the first team snaps at practice. The game is tomorrow. It's Saturday.
It's an oblique, right?
Yeah. So that is that. I'm like, I'm not going to lie to you. That's not a great thing to hear about your quarterback going into the start of the playoffs. Now, the Niners don't get a lot of pressure.
Nope.
And I think that they can scheme ways for him to avoid injury. But you like to say, Pat, you bring up all the time having played in Minnesota when Kubiak was the offensive coordinator there. So you have, you know, direct knowledge of his offense. He likes to move his quarterback around. The rollout bootleg game is a big part of what they do. Is that now going to be limited because of this injury? If it is, I think it reduces the amount of things they can do. And it, I think, handcuffs them a little bit as an offense. I still ultimately am going to pick Seattle to win this game, but I would be lying to you if my confidence level is the same as it was, say, on Sunday night when San Fran beat Philadelphia and we found out that this was going to be the matchup again. The Niners have already gone to Seattle and won. That was all the way back in week one. They won that game. Nick Bosa made a great play. He's obviously out. But the stat on Purdy is unbelievable. Have you seen the stat on the two games he's lost in the playoffs in his career? It's crazy.
No, I haven't. What is it?
The first loss is when he had the elbow injury, the Tommy John injury.
Yes, really.
In the NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. The other loss was when he left with a lead in the Super Bowl against Kansas City.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
So, like, he's a tough guy to bet against in these spots. Seattle, I mean, it's hard for me to say that their defense is not going to show up and have a big game. I think it will, even against Kyle Shanahan's very, you know, well-conceived offense. But the Darnold things gives me doubt. So that's why me and James rolled with San Francisco last week. I'm going to make him my upset pick again this week, Pat. You want to make it 3-for-3?
No, I don't. I'm going with Seattle Seahawks. I know the oblique injury can be big, but you alluded to that this the San Francisco 49ers are probably the bottom two teams that has sacks. You know, so they can't provide pressure or put pressure on quarterbacks. So honestly, quite frankly, they may not even need to use the rollout just because of what San Francisco 49ers are dealing with on their defensive line, not being able to provide, you know, a pressure that anyone is scared of. The Seattle Seahawks running game is starting to have gotten better within the last month of football. You talked about the defense, the highest pressure rated defensive line in the game. They don't have they're not, you know, the sack leaders, but they are far as getting to the quarterback. They get to the quarterback the quickest and they get to him the most far as hits on the quarterbacks and combined with sacks, you know. So in the young secondary, they just fly around, they make tackles. I know the 49ers don't have, you know, any, you know, big name receivers, but they have receivers that can make plays. And I just believe in the Seattle Seahawks defensive backs that they'll make more plays than the 49ers receivers will. So this is going to be a huge game. A lot of weight is going to be on Brock Purdy's and Christian McCaffrey's shoulders just because of no George Kittle. Defense is kind of, you know, leaking with injuries, and they took advantage of the Philadelphia Eagles last week because we talked about how bad the Philadelphia Eagles offense is and was, and that was a proven fact on, you know, how that was proven to us, you know, last week, Sunday. So now with them facing this Seattle Seahawks team, who is a veteran team in your division, coming off rest, they have playing at their home field. They have the advantage, and I just feel like the Seattle, the 12th man, is going to make it real, real tough for the 49ers. Again, I know they played there. They play there each and every year. There's going to be their second time playing there this year, so they're used to what, you know, the 12th have to provide. But I just think right now the Seattle Seahawks is a better all-around football team than the 49ers. And they're coming off rest. Yeah. Defense is better. You got to have a good defense in defense. I'm sorry. You got to have a good defense in the playoffs, and you got to have special teams. And I like I like the Seattle Seahawks over the San Francisco 49ers in all three phases.
A lot of coaches that I've been around like to divide the seasons into quarters. Mm-hmm. At least it was a 16 game season. They would do that. And the last quarter of Darnold's season is really not that impressive. Now, they won the game against let me go through the games. They beat the Colts 18-16. He did not have a touchdown or an interception. They had the great game against the Rams. He threw two touchdowns and two picks, 270 yards. They beat Carolina 27-10. He didn't do much. 18 of 27, 147, one touchdown, one pick. Then the game, they scored 13 and beat San Fran the last week of the season on the road, 20 of 26, 198, no touchdowns, no interceptions. What I wonder is, has he actually been hurt the entire time? Like, is this an injury that they just haven't, you know, disclosed, which you're not supposed to do, but it's also incumbent on him to report it. You know, his play has just not been where it was earlier in the season. And I just wonder if this is something that he's dealt with and maybe now it's just gotten worse. So that's just something I want to throw out there as a possibility because, man, that would really change the line 7. If Drew Lock has to play, would you pick Seattle? Man. I would
Hell
not.
No.
Okay.
No, nobody would.
Yeah, that would be a crazy adjustment in game plan if Drew Lock has to take the field. And a lot of people, you know, have already have their doubts about Sam Darnold. So you put an injury on the report for him too, and the doubt starts to creep up even more. So we will see. Let's go now to an AFC matchup. The Texans go to Foxborough to play the Patriots. So the league's top defense going into the playoffs goes and plays presumably the MVP front runner in Drake May, the leader in completion percentage and yards per attempt at the end of the regular season. So it's Houston and it's New England. New England -3 as a favorite at home. I'm going to take them as my best bet. 3-point favorites at home in Foxborough against the Houston Texans. Pony and Pat, who do you guys see in winning this game in a divisional round?
Man, you know, we got two games left, and I have to make a best bet, and I have to make an underdog.
Yes,
I already said the Patriots are my favorite to win the Super Bowl, and the Houston Texans are playing lights out football right now. I like the Patriots to win in this game, but I'm have to go with the bet as Texans as the Texans are the underdog, so I'm going with the Texans as the underdog to go in to win this game as my underdog pick.
Cat.
But who I expect to win this game will be the New England Patriots just because of how they have been playing all year long on all three phases. In the playoff time, situational football, special teams, defense, and being able to put together drives that which they have been able to do in this first playoff game that they have been able to play and throughout the season. I just feel like this team is geared up and ready for any and everything just because of the games and how they have won these ball games throughout the season. I know a lot of guys been talking about how the strength of their schedule, how weak it has been, but also look how they have won those games. None of those games, for the most part, have been close. Those games that they have won, those bad teams, quote unquote, they have beaten, they beat them how they're supposed to be beaten, which is by 10 or more points. You know, so that's, to me, that's a resemblance of a good football team. That's a resemblance of a football team not stepping down to the level of their competition. And the Patriots seem to rise to the occasion each and every week. And the only thing I feel like is going to keep Houston away from winning this ball game is C.J. Stroud. If C.J. Stroud comes into this ball game and turn the ball over 3, 4, 5 times like he did last, I know he ended up getting two of those fumbles back. But if he end up having no mistakes like he did last week, those will bite him in the butt. And we talked about his play throughout the year. You already talked about how you don't really trust C.J. Stroud as of yet. But we know what their defense can do. So this game right here is really one of those ones that is like a toss-up, because in my heart, this is who I did not want to see my Super Bowl favorite play in the divisional round with that defense, what they're able to provide. But their offense is not as potent as, you know, as any other off as a Jack. Well, let me see, as a Buffalo Bills or as a let me see who else. And that's probably the only potent offense in the playoffs right now. But this is the defense that I did not want the New England Patriots to see. But it's here now. They got to face it, and they got to go into the kitchen in that burning fire. So, but I'd like the New England Patriots to win this ball game. C.J. Stroud is going to have to play mistake-free football if Houston Texans want to win this ball game.
This has been the place where the Texan season has always died. The franchise has never made it to an AFC championship game. So they're fighting history here. New England is no stranger to AFC championship games and Super Bowls. The expectation there is to always contend for a Super Bowl. And Mike Vrabel was a part of those teams with Bill Belichick. So I think psychologically there's already that going into this, where New England's expectation is to win. I was somewhat taken aback by just how rattled C.J. Stroud was against the Steelers. He did everything in his power to lose that game for them.
He did.
Which is so strange to me, because one of the things I thought he did best as a rookie was he never really looked like he was so overwhelmed.
He never turned the ball over like that either.
What's that?
I say, and he never had that turnover problem like he has now.
No, I mean, they had more fumbles in that game than they did all year as a team. They had three lost fumbles. They lost two in the game. They put it on the ground five times, and it was mostly him, all him.
Right.
I don't understand that. So now you're going to face New England, which does not have a great pass rush, but we saw what they did to Justin Herbert last week. It's not like the Texans' offensive line is anything special. I do not think that we're going to see Woody Marks go over 100 yards again. I think New England will do a much better job against the run. And you've taken away this season now. So Stroud has lost his two favorite guys. Tank Dell never played because he got hurt in that game against Kansas City late last year in the regular season with that horrible knee injury. And now he doesn't have Nico Collins, who is out with this concussion. He got hit in the head early in the Steelers game, got hit again, and had to get carted off and didn't practice all week. He's not going to play. He's in the protocol. And he is one of the most underrated receivers in the entire league. People, I don't think, unless they're like fantasy football lovers or, big time Texans fans, they don't really get how good that guy is. Mm-hmm. So I don't see the Texans offense doing much. It's going to come down to their defense winning them the game. And their defense can win it. I mean, we saw what they did against the Steelers. They held them to 6 points. They made Aaron Rodgers look like he was 105 years old.
They scored twice.
They scored double the points than the Steelers did offensively. But I want to believe, and maybe this will be a comment I regret when we break the game down on Monday, I want to believe that Drake May got a lot of his first playoff start jitters out of the way. And we see him play a more composed game. The X factor is going to be, can the left side of his line play better than it did against the Chargers? Because I thought both rookie tackles and guards got abused pretty bad in that game. We saw a strip sack fumble. We saw a deflected ball turn into an interception. So that's got to improve. That's got to be much better. I think Stephon Diggs plays well against his former team. I can see Hunter Henry having a big game because they'll use the middle of the field against linebackers. So I reluctantly take New England. I like a lot of the points you made. They were my Super Bowl pick too. I'm not in love with this matchup because I do think Houston's defense is that ferocious, but I'm going to take the Patriots. Not my best bet like James, but I do think they're going to be in the championship game next Sunday.
I had to, like Pat said, I had to pick a best bet somewhere. We only got four games. It's tight. It's slim pickings.
No, it's
here,
his underdog, James. That's underdog.
Right, right. No, this is my best bet. Patriots. Got Patriots it. Minus three.
Yes.
So let's go to the final matchup. My Super Bowl pick when we started this, the LA Rams, are in a game that I did not want to touch because they are coming off a tough wild card weekend win. They go to Chicago as 3.5-point favorites in Chicago. I'm not sure, but after a really good comeback from Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears, they now have to defend home turf against a former Super Bowl champion, Matt Stafford, Sean McVay, and the Rams. Pat, do you think that line is fair? Do you think the Rams should be favored on the road in the Windy City? And how do you feel this game goes?
No, I don't think they should be favored on the road in the Windy City. I just saw the wind chill is going to be 0 degrees. I talked about, you know, how I feel about the Rams playing in the elements. So we saw them play twice in the elements against the Carolina Panthers. Wasn't the best outing, you know, something that was very, very uncharacteristic by Matthew Stafford, fumbling the ball in the pocket, throwing turnovers, pick sixes and things like that. Offense really wasn't, you know, gelling, you know, throughout the game. They found ways in the fourth quarter to get it going. But, you know, it just, to me, it just seemed like they get off to slow starts in the elements for far as the last games that we were able to see. And I have concerns about their defense, their secondary, the running game, the running defense. We know that they can get to the quarterback with Sweat and with Young and Versus, but they have been, to me, it looks like they've been having a trouble, you know, stopping the run as of late. And they've been giving up way too many big plays through the air by receivers, you know. So I have a lot of concerns about that, because the Chicago Bears is the number one rushing team in the NFL. So I believe it's going to be a hard task for the Los Angeles Rams to muscle up, you know, something to be able to slow down that running game. I believe Caleb Williams is going to put a lot of stress on that secondary as far as the time that he's going to be able to create in the pocket. It's just going to make those guys in the back end job that much harder. And I just believe with it being the elements, with this being a very optimistic defense, I believe they're going to turn the ball over, get a couple turnovers in this ball game. This weather is going to play a factor. I don't care what nobody says. This is a team that's coming from LA. They don't play in outside. It's sunny. It's La La Land. And now they're going to out, you know, northeast to, you know, Chicago to play out in 0 degree weather. You know what I mean? So that is definitely something to take into an account in this ball game. So I like the Chicago Bears to win this ball game, and the young cardiac arrest kid, Caleb Williams, take his team to the NFC Championship.
Wow. Well, we kind of saw this coming, because why change your prediction now after you had the Bears in the Super Bowl when we made our playoff picks? The Rams are going to be my best bet at -3.5. 40 years ago, these two teams played in the NFC Championship at Soldier Field. The conditions were similar. The Bears shut out the Rams, but that was also the 85 Bears defense. This is, I think, the opposite of that. It's, in my opinion, of the units that are still left playing in the playoffs, I think the Bears defense is the worst one.
100%.
I think it's even worse than the 49ers defense. 100%, right? Now, they get turnovers, but that's all they do. Mm-hmm. And if Matthew Stafford doesn't play like an idiot, then they're going to win. Then I think they're going to score at least 30 points. Even, I get it. It's going to be cold. It's going to be wind chill with the wind chill factored in. It's going to be probably below zero when it's all said and done. What I think should give James some confidence as a guy that has the Rams in the Super Bowl is that they played a game in Philadelphia this divisional round weekend last year, and it looked like a snow globe, and it was windy, and you could barely see the yard lines and things like that. And Stafford played his butt off, if not for Jalen Carter's last second play to break up that pass. I mean, they might have come all the way back and won. I just don't see the way the Bears get stops. I just don't. Like, they don't get enough pressure with Sweat's the only guy that can pressure the quarterback. Their linebackers are all pretty much hurt and dinged up. Edwards is out for the year now. Jalen Johnson at corner, great player, but you can tell he's super banged up. He looked horrible in the game against Green Bay. The speed's just not there. In and out of his breaks and cuts, just not what he needs to be. Gordon came back at corner and is way rusty. Wright has made plays on the ball, but is not really a guy that I expect to hold up in coverage against Davante Adams or Puka Nacua. And the Rams scheme, one of the best run games in the entire NFL. So they better hope that Mother Nature shows up and rears her ugly head, because I think that's the only shot they have in the game. But think about the two quarterbacks, Pat. It's Stafford and Williams. Both of these guys can throw the ball in any circumstance. You know, we're not talking about Tua in this game. We're not talking about Jared Goff outdoors. We're talking about two of the most strong-armed quarterbacks in the entire NFL. And I don't think the wind is going to affect either guy. So I think the Bears will put up their points too. But in the end, I think the Rams defense is that much better than the Bears defense. That unit will get more stops, and the Rams will come away with a win. -3.5 is my best bet of divisional round weekend.
Stop, Pony, because Pat started writing. I haven't seen the pad come out in a little bit. Now I see Pat writing on.
No, it's been out. It's been out. It's just been like on my lap.
My NFC Super Bowl pick versus Pat's NFC Super Bowl pick, and I need to get a pen and pad somewhere. Because
yeah, this is a big first in pod matchup here.
Yeah.
Sunday night.
When that pad come out, no one does well against Pat.
Because James is kind of feeling himself, Pat, because he picked the Niners against the Eagles. So he thinks he's on a hot streak right now.
We're going to see.
I'm calm.
Pat, don't lie.
I'm calm. Pony trying to throw some voodoo on me. I'm calm.
All right, we'll be back on Monday. We'll break down all these four games. Can't wait to do it. Subscribe, rate, review to the podcast. That way it shows right up in your feed. It's brought to you by FanDuel. It's first in pod. James Jackson, Patrick Peters, and Andrew Filippone. We'll talk to you on Monday.